Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert!
Freaking awesome.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is a discussion review of The Rise of the Mad Pharaoh, an awesome online escape game by the amazing team of Hourglass Escapes in Seattle. See, that's the one good thing. Well, there might be a couple of good things that have come from COVID. Online escape rooms. Now, we would never normally have chance to do these escape rooms over in Seattle, but because of modern technology, myself, Hannah, Dan and Jess have all been able to do the amazing online escape rooms from Hourglass Escapes. And Rise of the Mad Pharaoh, another awesome attraction. Very different to the others, and we'll get into that in the interview now with Dan and Jess. So let's take you to that now. It's our discussion review of The Rise of the Mad Pharaoh by Hourglass Escapes. Seattle.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined once again by Dan and Jess. How's it going, guys?
All good, man.
Yeah, good.
Perfect. Now, we experienced another online escape game last week, courtesy of Hourglass Events, so a huge thank you to those guys yet again. We tried their third game, which was Rise of the Mad Pharaoh. So we thought we're going to discuss that on this review discussion episode. Hannah did join Dan, Jess and I, but unfortunately she can't be on tonight, so she sends her apologies, but she had a great time as well. So let's get straight into it. Guys, we're already a fan of Hourglass Escapes anyway, aren't we? Like, Evil Dead was awesome. All three are pretty awesome in different ways, haven't they?
Yeah. I think this, right off the bat, I'd have to say this is my second favourite room.
After Evil Dead, of course.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
The thing is that saying anything second favourite, you can kind of go, oh, maybe the other two aren't that great. Evil Dead 2 was so damn good that I don't know what you can do to beat it.
That's on the pedestal now, isn't it? It's going to be tough to beat that.
It's them and Horror Escapes are my two top escape rooms at the moment.
Definitely. And I'm sure there's going to be some more content as soon as we can actually get to places as well. But as far as, online, we've really enjoyed these. And the Mad Pharaoh was great as well, Rise of the Mad Pharaoh. So we're going to discuss it now. Obviously, you'll still be able to do the game. I do highly suggest you go and give it a go. Go to hourglassescapes.com, book in. Obviously, there's that time difference as well. We're a good few hours ahead of Seattle.
8 hours, I think.
Is it 8 hours? It's mad, isn't it? So we're full 8 hours ahead. So obviously be cautious of that when you're booking your tickets as well. But this one, it says 3 to 6 players on their website, but we definitely needed six, didn't we?
We definitely needed six.
Mm-hmm.
You're given individual jobs, basically. So if you are booked onto the Curse of the Mad Pharaoh, you either are the cartographer, the Egyptologist, the cultist, the CIA codebreaker, antiquarian, or the poet. And each individual person has different tasks to do throughout the escape room. So it's always fun to dress up as well. And I must say, Dan definitely looked the part this time. Definitely looking
Don't
cool.
Think that
you wore it the whole time as well, this big sort of Tutankhamun.
I sent you a photo saying, look at what I've got for the escape room. And you said, very saucily, I might add, yeah, that looked good in the picture. I was like, oh, well, the whole goddamn time I have, I had bandages and makeup underneath that mask. I went full
you
on. Good.
You did awesome. No, I appreciate it. And I put the photo up online as well. Everyone's checked that out as well. Mm-hmm. I apologize. I didn't mean it to sound salty. No, I loved it. You put us to shame. All I did was put on Hannah's glasses with a bit of tape in the middle. So, yeah, it looked awesome. It looked good. All me and Hannah were going to do was wrap ourselves up in bog roll. So, you know, anyone did that better than that. But let's get back onto the game as well then. So this one, it lasts an hour. You have up to an hour to escape. Once again, you are controlling a real-life person within the room. And it was actually the same girl that was doing our last escape room with them as well. So, again, she was awesome, wasn't she, guys?
She was cool. I can't lie to yourself because... And I'm a dumbass for this. But she went, oh, I'll just pass you over to so-and-so. And then put on this outrageous French accent. And for a second, I was like, oh, there's two people. Oh, no, hang on. She's put on an accent.
She's just put an accent on. But that's what I like, though, as well, is they've done that every time we've done a room. And it's not just for us. It's just like, you know, they're part of their spiel. Rather than going, okay, so I'm going to change character in a bit or I'm going to play this character. They just go, hey, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm the manager. I'm whatever. I'm going to pass you over to... this person, and instantly click their fingers. It's like they're playing a whole new character. They've got you know, either special gloves on, they've got the cool camera, they've got the they really do just sort of set the scene and make it. They basically make the game not harder or easier as far as the tasks go, but it's just a seamless sort of transition from us being there in real life to us being behind a Zoom webcam. They just make it seamless and nice and simple for us, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. And again, a great job from the girl there. They've been great at Hourglass Escapes. We were chatting slightly just after the game as well. I felt that this one was less so of a whole group working together. And although we did have to sort of collate things together towards the end, it felt like it was more individuals doing their individual tasks to then collate all together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because when I was chatting to Seth, he was saying, who runs our Scarscapes, he was saying, oh, this needs six people. You've got your individual tasks. I was like, okay, so we've got six people together. And then when I downloaded a pack, there's just six different characters. And I was like, oh, there's just different characters. I thought, like, we had a special power each. So I thought it was, you know, it was pretty irrelevant. Mm. Until we played a game and you're in the thick of it. It's like, okay, the cult is getting this. You're like, what? And so's getting this. And so's getting that. And they'll shoot off different things to different people.
Yes, yeah.
So you kind of, every now and then, you kind of, like, a couple of the groups will kind of have to, like, back off in their own little world.
Yeah.
And solve their things while you're trying to solve something else and then jump in again.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that working a lot, but I mean, I felt like, I don't want to say it was impersonal, but it felt like, you know, we wasn't all doing it together as a team. And I felt like it would work much.
Don't all work on the same thing at once, because you get too many cooks. What this was good is you had the team brainstorming something, then when it solved it, okay, you do that, and then you do this. So you kind of, I thought it was a very nice balance of working as a team and then splitting off to work your own little things as well. But then if you're stuck, you can work on your thing, or you can drag another member of the team and say, I'm stuck in this, can you help me? And the other, so it's just a nice way of delegating.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I mean, depending on your team as well, because our team was. I mean, Mikey's upped his game seriously since doing his online escape rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Elster and Mikey, who are playing, were pretty on the board as well. So I think if you have a good team and people who like working together, that working as a group and separating off comes second nature pretty quickly.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Obviously, you know, if you have a whole team creating one sort of project, you're right, you have one team on marketing, one team on scripting, one team on this. So it sort of splits them off. So it works in that respect, sort of, you're working as a team, but, you know, in your own little sections. And what was good about that was the sort of online, you'd have another tab open and they would send you clues to the individual character packs. Basically, everyone had a desk that you were able to click onto, check out the desk, and whenever we would find a new clue or a new puzzle, they would say, similar to the other games that we played with Hourglass Escapes, they would say, if you look onto that other page, you'll see the CIA codebreaker, I've just sent you this puzzle, or the poet, I've sent you this task. And
what I like about this one is, and some of the others, you have to put in a code. Where this one, they said we put it on your desk and it would just appear there. And I like that bit of immersiveness because it was literally like they plonked it on your desk.
Definitely. I think that worked better than... I mean, it's no harm when playing the other games where they're like, okay, you found a hammer, so type in hammer.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was, again, just so seamless, it was like, right, we found this, so I'm going to place that on your desk. One, it was nice and easy, it was slick, it was there. What I did like as well is the fact that it wasn't just... I wasn't only able to see my desk, or Hannah wasn't able to only see her desk. We were able to go to everyone's. I probably struggled more with my individual because I was the code breaker, and that's, you know, I'm terrible at breaking those sort of things. So when I had those in front of me, I was struggling. Whereas when I looked onto the screen, I feel like, oh, that's where you put that block, or that's where you put that. Yeah. I felt so. You know, each person will. Sort of relate to it differently. Some people will find these desk games simple and struggle with the with the other stuff. So it was nice that, yeah, like you say, Dan, it instantly went onto your desk. You were able to see it straight away. And like you say, if you needed help or struggling, you can get someone else to help you out as well.
Yeah.
In fairness, I'd probably say that you guys helped me out on all of mine. Let's be honest.
All helped each other. Right?
Yes, exactly. It's all caring. It's all sharing. Let's talk about the actual room again. What these guys are really good at is having some really immersive sort of sets, the sound. I'm sure if we were there, there'd be the smell as well. But for me, throughout this one, throughout the hour, it was the music. The music really did just sort of build up and create that extra sort of level of immersion, didn't it?
I tuned out the music.
Really?
Dude, see, I start panicking because it starts like the crescendo goes.
Remember when you play Mario? It completely. I'm not a great panicker at escape room games. I'm generally quite good, especially when we're losing. The closer I get to losing, the more chill I tend to get. Mm-hmm. But the music, it prangs me out. I can't hack it. So I think I kind of tune it out a bit. So it starts getting quite. Oh God, we're going to lose! So I kind of have to like just get it out of my head. Like, no, not listening to music. Get it out. But having said that, this one, I think, I remember this one, because this one was the only one I actually started to panic. I think maybe the music was getting to me. I was like, we're going to lose. Oh my God, we're actually going
to
lose.
Yeah, because we finished with, was it 4 minutes to spare?
I think it was
4 minutes.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was less than that. It was really close. Because generally we were about 5 minutes. On most escape rooms we've done with five. On the ghost game we got 10. We did really super well in that one.
Yeah.
But most of it's like five. And this one I was thinking we were close.
Well, it also, it felt like that there was just, I mean, all of these rooms that are glass escapes, they're all good because they're not exactly linear tasks. It's you can sort of do most tasks within any order that you figure out, so it'll always be a little bit different, especially for the taskmaster, you know, the avatar doing the game for us. But it also, to me, felt like that once you were near the end, there was more, and then there was more. And then there was more. It felt like I thought we'd won the game three times before we actually won it.
Okay, it's not a spoiler because you've got to open up the sarcophagus, because that's the point of the game. When you open up, there was something in it. I was like, hey, we've won. And there's these ones. Like, what? No, those things. Close it.
Yeah.
Fucking won.
Because there was a big, you know, that again, I don't want to give a huge spoiler, but right at the end, there was sort of like lots of sort of tasks that sort of amalgamated to one big thing around the esophagus, and it was a whole big sort of ceremony. It took quite a long time for us to, you know, put the right bit in the right places without trying to give anything away. So it did feel like this one big sort of crescendo of, oh, it's open, yay. And then it's like, no, there's some stuff in here we got to do. So,
She was like, oh, yeah, I forgot there was one puzzle you missed. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
I know, yeah. I was like, another puzzle?
Well, on the Avatar, I love that person. There were, when we did the Evil Dead escape room, your guy there was saying, look, it's such a big ending. I'll get you there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you. I'm not going to give you away the clues, but I'll help you. I'll point you out. I'll get you there. And I think they're really good at that.
Yeah.
Without making you feel like they're not giving you clues, but they're hinting or nudging in the right direction. I think they're really good at that.
Definitely.
And the our host at the beginning of this one said they were allergic to cats.
Yes.
So anything to do with cats or cultists, they'd sneeze. And I really like that. So there's a point I was like, oh my God, I have no idea. And there was cat paw prints on this thing. And I was like, I have no idea. She started sneezing. I was like, the paw prints, it's a cat. But they don't say, oh, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Look at that. They do stuff in such inventive little ways.
Definitely.
But it just, if you're watching a film, that would be the character's, you know, that would be a tell in the film, if you see what I mean. Like, the character in the film is allergic to cats, and sees all the cats around. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's almost cinematic the way they give you clues. It really brings you into it. I really appreciate that. So subtle, but a really nice touch.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like they're so subtle, it's like you don't really, you adversely notice them. It's not like, right, they have given us a clue, so we need to do this. It's sort of built into the characters that they play, isn't it?
Yeah,
definitely.
It's like the two guy who's like, "Oh, I'll make sure you guys got there." And I was like, "You helped us."
Yeah. It didn't feel like it, man.
And the same with this one. It's just that little touch at the beginning. Obviously, there must be enough, or to do the cultist who's always about cats. But at the beginning is, "Oh, there must be cats. I'm allergic." So you know, whenever she sneezes, there's a cat near. It was just something so small, but it's those little touches that I think put this sort of production value, for lack of a better term, you know what I mean? Yeah. So those little touches and attention to details will make them so much better.
Definitely, definitely. And again, that's I'd say the attentions to detail all round are just there, you know, whether it be with the character giving you the hints and tips, whether it be you know, just the whole scenography of it all, the set, the design, the sound, the lighting. There's just, you know, parts of the room that are literally there just for decoration without being part of the game or any clues or whatnot. There's just so many layers to it. They do a really, really good job and make it really theatrical as well. Definitely. So just checking out the website now as well. So if you guys do want to check it out, I'll let you know what it says on the website. They say it's a theatrical escape room that makes you the star with your inventory and character cards. You portray characters in the world of Dr. Carter and the Mad Pharaoh. Dr. Carter has been trapped by the Mad Mummy while in Egypt and needs your help to set him free and destroy the evil Pharaoh. And that's a, again, they sort of start and end their games really cool. There's either a video link that they'll play, or there's a video on the screen in the case of the Evil Dead room. It's not just a case of, you've won, thanks, bye. It's like there's a whole ta-da, the music, the lighting, the sound, the either a video or, you know, I always feel that they make it, obviously all these games are worthwhile and we enjoy it, but once you do it, there's a bigger payoff because they've sort of celebrated it for you as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Definitely. Like we say, it says 3 to 6 players, but we do highly recommend you having 6 players for this one. I think you'll get the most out of it. The other one, I think we did quite well as a 4, you know, or, you know, if even if I wasn't there and you just did it with Hannah, you'd probably do just as well. So, but yeah, this one a little bit more. Obviously, it's good to have earphones and a mic if you have that. Zoom software, high-speed internet. But just like the last two review episodes we've done of Hourglass Escapes, it's very simple. It's very easy. Just go to their website, hourglassescapes.com. I felt that this was the hardest one for me. I thought this was way harder than their other two. Do you guys agree, or do you think it's just very different?
I would agree.
I found it harder. I'm not sure if this or Evil Dead... I find very hard to judge the Evil Dead 2 difficulty level because I'm such a fanboy of the film.
Of course.
I was just so blown away by every goddamn Easter egg. I remember the joy rather than difficulty. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was like, I couldn't tell. I know it was semi-difficult because we had all that. What was it? We got out there. I think we had 4 minutes spare. So it had to be reasonably difficult. But I couldn't tell you apart from that because I was just geeking out every goddamn second. This one, I genuinely felt, I thought it was this is a sort of difficulty level I like. It's challenging, but it's not stupid. Yeah. I think gate rooms, they have these, we've only had 20% completion rates, are a bit like, good for you, mate. You
make them easier.
Do you want everyone to lose? But like, people want to complete the hardest one. I'm not really about that. I'm about the fun.
Yeah, the entertainment.
I think this was fun, but tricky. And I think that's a very nice balance. if this was any harder, you'd just get frustrated.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Definitely. I think there was a certain times when, because Hannah was the poet, and she had a few tasks, and so while I was looking one thing, she was looking on her phone at another thing. And again, it's best if each individual has their own device as well on this game as well. Again, the other games, the two of you or three of you can share a laptop screen. This one, I'd say to have multiple devices. Like I said, Hannah was using her phone just for her inventory. But there was a point where she literally had no idea, and so we were just sort of like trying to do other things, and then we were like, we still haven't figured out what I was supposed to do ages ago. So she was getting frustrated with herself, thinking they're gonna ask me what this answer is and I still don't know. So yeah, if you're really stuck on a point, then obviously it can get frustrating, but just like any other escape room can, you know, there's sometimes that you need that little nudge or you need a fresh pair of eyes. There's still things that you guys did on all these escape rooms, which I've just nodded and waved, and me and Hannah have gone, how the fuck did I do that? I don't know what they're doing. So yeah, but like you say, as a group, as a team, you'll get through it. I think all the notes I made about this game, I think I've gone through everything, really. Is there anything that I've missed out, guys, that you wanted to point out?
No, I mean, I just, as I always say, these rooms will go way beyond lockdowns and pandemics. To say it's like, you know, I always say, you're 3 hours on a train away up north, you know, that's a bloody holiday to go see. But this is a good way of connecting with people in far distances or other countries that you want to get together with and have a laugh. And it's really, you know, you make me hang out beforehand, hang out afterwards. It's kind of a nice way of bringing people together.
Yes, definitely.
That's an amazing. Well, they've also, I was chatting to the guy who runs it, they've also got an Arkham Horror one coming out.
Yes, nice.
Which I cannot fucking wait to try.
Definitely, yeah. Arkham Horror Files, it is. It's on their website now, guys, so go check it out. So as soon as it's available, it's opening this summer, and it looks pretty awesome. And speaking of a new show, that does mean that unfortunately their Evil Dead 2 room does end at the end of this month. So get your tickets now before you don't get a chance. Honestly, you will regret it if you don't get to do it. So that's Hourglass Escapes. Definitely get the Evil Dead 1.
Evil Dead 2 needs to get room. I mean, it's just... Yeah, it's hands down, man. It's amazing. And I said they're nice people. They won't, you know, because it is so cinematic. All right, can't guarantee you'll pass because you're a complete dumbass. That's not their fault. But you know, they do. They are subtly and quietly very helpful.
Yes, definitely. Awesome. I think we've hit everything then.
Cool. Like, thing I would like to mention is that they've started doing puzzle games.
Okay.
Like, so it's like an escape room puzzle game where you, like, I think at the moment it's a sales. I think it's like $15, which is 12 quid. And it's like an escape room point and click on the computer.
Right, okay, sweet, cool.
So, yeah, they've got kind of, they're doing other stuff. So I've bought the one for me and Jess to do this weekend.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think it's just they're experimenting, doing other stuff. So I thought I'd give that a mention as well.
Yeah, definitely. No, I appreciate that. Cheers, Dan. So, yeah, you know what? Quality stuff yet again from Hourglass Escapes. A different style of escape room this time compared to the other two we've done with them. Same kind of premise, but like we say, there's more individual bits on this one.
And that's why I'm looking forward to the next one, is because they've all been so different. It's not like it's one room with a different light and different pictures. I mean, they've all been very, very different. Yes. And that's why this Arkham one, I'm presuming it's the H.P. Lovecraft Arkham, not the Batman Arkham, which would also be so goddamn awesome. But the way they've tailored each theming and everything's so different, I'm really curious where they're going to go with this.
They're always on point.
Yeah, you've got aquatic horror, you've got a cult, you've got gods, you've got a lot going on there. And I'm really curious what the storyline is. That's what makes me want to come back to them. As I said, if it was just a generic room with a different twist, but they're not, they're all so different. I'm like, I'm looking forward to that one. I will book that one. We will do that one as soon as it comes out.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
And I'm checking out their website now. The poster looks really cool. It's a proper horror, you know, it's called Arkham Horror. It's a proper a haunted style escape room as well. It's all red, it's dark, it's got a big octopus taking over a like a lighthouse with evil devil eyes in it. You know, check out the artwork's cool. It suggests very dark, very horror, so definitely up our street.
I'm just gonna be a bit nerd. Is it an octopus or is it Cthulhu?
It's could be that. it's basically got big tentacles.
Yeah, it could be a giant squid.
Could be a giant squid.
The Arkham's HP Lovecraft's Cthulhu. Yeah.
There we go. That's me and my lack of knowledge, isn't it?
I literally had to stop myself going off on one about what Arkham was. My brains went, put on the brakes!
Calm down. I wish I had that sort of sensor.
It's expensive. It's just a lot of nerd information about what Arkham is.
So if anyone wants nerd information, contact Dan now, and I'm sure he'll talk your ear off for ages.
Actually, no. That's it. Because it's Arkham, Arkham's Insane Asylum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's got you some theming right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Might actually be set in the same asylum. That would be amazing. Like old school proper horror. I mean, they're not probably politically correct right now.
Insane asylum.
Well, no, yeah, but it was. That's what they were. They were insane asylums. Back in the 50s, that's what it'd be classed as.
Yeah.
And that's where the horror element comes from, because people were mistreated. That's what brings a horror.
It's probably better saying that than loony bin.
Yeah,
funny con is my favourite.
Insane asylum is actually the correct word. So if people are insane, an asylum is somewhere where people seek solace and comfort. It's an asylum, hence asylum seekers. You're seeking comfort away from terror.
You're listening to Scare Track.
And before we go, something brand new that we are starting now. We have now done all three of the escape rooms at Hourglass Escapes, so we can officially say on how much we've enjoyed them all. It is now officially Scare Track approved. So yeah, we're mega pumped about that. It's the first attraction we're officially calling Scare Track approved. It's got the approval from us because we've just loved all three of them, haven't we, guys?
Yeah, they've been amazing. I mean, seriously, we need like a stamp or something.
Yes. Definitely. Something is in the works behind the scenes, and there'll be more information on that in the coming episodes as well, guys. But yeah, Hourglass Escapes definitely got the Scare Track seal of approval. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Dan and Jess, a huge, huge thank you for joining us again.
And also a huge thank you for Hourglass Escapes. I mean, they got approved for a reason. They've created amazing
freaking
escape rooms.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome. Absolutely. Perfect. Right, what a perfect end. Thanks to Hourglass Escapes. And Dan, Jess, we'll see you soon.
Cool. Catch you later.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scare Track podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan and Jess for once again coming onto the Scare Track podcast. Amazing guest hosts, doing a fantastic job for us. Really, really do appreciate it. And there will be another movie review coming next week with myself and Dan as well. So keep an eye out for that episode coming soon. A huge thank you to the team of Hourglass Escapes, Seth, the whole team. They really have got some amazing escape rooms. Now, before doing these online escape rooms with Dan and Jess, myself and Hannah, we've enjoyed them, but we wouldn't necessarily always go and do them because we're not the sharpest knives in the drawer, and we sometimes argue. But these games are really immersive, really fun. It's great to have a bigger team. Dan and Jess know their stuff, and we genuinely really have enjoyed all three of their games, which is why they're definitely getting the Scare Track seal of approval. And like I say, more details on that in the next coming episodes as well. We just want to share the love, share with the world what we think are quality good attractions. And when it comes to online escape rooms, Hourglass Escapes really have delivered, and definitely with Evil Dead 2 as well. That's a fantastic game, so play that before the end of this month. It is finishing very, very soon. That brings us almost to the end of this episode of the Scare Track podcast. Before we do go, make sure you're joining us on all the social media pages. I really appreciate it if you are already. We love interacting with you guys, especially through these lockdowns, not just here in the UK, but you guys over in the States, everyone listening in Germany, we have some in Holland, everyone anyone around the world, thank you so, so much for listening. But yeah, follow us on our socials. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. The links are in the show notes below. Go and check out Hourglass Escapes. Go and do one of their escape rooms. You'll really, really enjoy it. And of course, you can join us for anything Scare Track related over on our website, scaretrack.co.uk. On there, you can find the links to every podcast, to our merchandise, and our scare cams as well. All our YouTube content on there, or you can go direct to youtube.com/scaretrack. We're nearly at 1,000 subscribers, so if you are on there liking our videos, please do click that subscribe button and click the bell notification to be notified for each coming up scare cam vlog or coaster track vlog or all the other videos we do over there. It's amazing how many people can watch an episode but not click that subscribe button, so that subscribe really would help. So that's it for another episode of Scare Track. A huge thank you for listening, and let's get scared.